Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, September 11th, 2017. While the U.S. contends with the destruction caused by two ferocious hurricanes in 3 weeks, New Yorkers mark the 16th anniversary of 9/11, when hijackers flew commercial planes into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Politicians stood together at Ground Zero, Governor Cuomo with Senators Schumer and Gillibrand, Mayor de Blasio with Comptroller Scott Stringer, Public Advocate Tish James, City Council Speaker Melissa Mark-Viverito, and former Governor George Pataki. And former Mayor Mike Bloomberg was in attendance as family members and co-workers read the names of almost 3,000 victims of the attack.
Rebecca Lee Kabori.
Deborah A. Tobus.
Gary Edward Keckler.
Frank J. Costner.
Ryan Cohart.
Vanessa Lynn Kivilo-Tolpak.
Irina Kolpakova.
Suzanne Rose Kondratenko.
Abdulay Kone.
Bon Siok Ku.
Dorota Kapitsko.
Scott Michael Kapitko.
Bohan George Kostik.
Danielle Kasulis.
David
Danielle
D. Kasulis's
dad carried
John
his
J.
daughter's
Friend.
Photo on a sign
William
showing
Edward
she was only 30 years old when she was killed by the terrorist attack at Ground Zero. Children who read the names of those who perished knew them through stories told by family members, and thoughts of those in attendance went out to their loved ones, but also to victims of the hurricanes and floods and the earthquake in Mexico. Here are some of the voices today at Ground Zero on the 16th anniversary of one of the nation's most scarring days.
FDNY Chief of Department Peter James Gansey Jr.
Michael Gann.
FDNY Lieutenant Charles William Garbarini.
Andrew Sonny Garcia.
Cesar R. Garcia.
David Garcia.
Jorge Luis Marón Garcia.
Juan Garcia.
Marlon Del Carmen Garcia.
Christopher Samuel Gardner.
Douglas Benjamin Gardner.
Harvey Joseph Gardner III.
And my brother, firefighter Joseph Patrick Henry, FDNY Ladder 21. Joey, it's hard to believe that you were only a 25-year-old kid on that horrific day, but you selflessly ran into the towers to help others. We miss you and love you always. You are a true hero.
And my brother, Gerard F. Rousey. 16 years have passed, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think of you and miss you so much. My angel, my rock, my amazing brother. You will always be remembered as a gentle soul with that special smile that touched our hearts and the hearts of many. I love you, Jerry, my guardian angel. You left footprints in my mind, my heart, and my soul. And remembering all those whose spirit shines in the darkness.
My cousin, Tanyelle F. McDay. I am 16, and I was exactly 11 months old when the attacks took place. Even though I don't remember you holding me when I was a baby, I will never forget you and the memories our family share about you. I will continue to remember and never forget. I know you are enjoying heaven with your mom, granddaddy, Aunt Janice, and Aunt Dora. We love you, Tootie.
Claude Daniel Richards.
Gregory David Richards.
Michael Richards.
Vanessa Orinsha Richards.
Jimmy Riches.
Alan J. Richman.
John M. Rigo.
Frederick Charles Rimley III.
Rose Marie Rizzo.
Moises N. Rivas.
Joseph R. Rivella Jr.
Carmen Alicia Rivera.
Iasis Rivera.
Juan William Rivera.
Linda Ivalice Rivera.
David E. Rivers.
Joseph R. Reverso.
Paul V. Rizza.
John Frank Rizzo.
Stephen Lewis Roach.
Joseph Roberto.
Leo Arthur Roberts.
Michael E. Roberts.
Michael Edward Roberts.
Donald Walter Robertson, Jr.
Jeffrey Robinson.
Michael Lee Jean Robotham.
Donald Arthur Robson.
Antonio A. Roca.
Raymond James Roca.
Laura Rockefeller.
John Michael Rodak.
Antonio Jose Rodriguez.
Anthony Rodriguez.
Carmen Milagros Rodriguez.
Gregory E. Rodriguez.
Marcia A. Rodriguez.
Myra Valdez Rodriguez.
Richard Rodriguez.
David Bartolo Rodriguez Vargas.
And I am here today to honor my fiance, firefighter Joseph J. Ogren, Ladder 3 Recon. I miss you and love you more than words could ever tell.
And my father, Wei Bin Wong, we love you and miss you so much.
And my brother, David Prudencio Lamagne, Port Authority Police Officer. David, I want to say thank you for being the embodiment of selflessness and bravery that fateful Tuesday, for being a hero. Our country came together that day, and it did not matter what color you were or where you were from. I hope today, as we commemorate the 16th anniversary of 9/11, everyone will stop for a moment and remember all the people who gave their lives that day. Maybe then we can put away our disagreements and become one country again. I love you, David. Continue to watch over our family.
And the Captain of Rescue Company 4, Brian Christopher Hickey. Cap, your legacy lives on in Rescue 4 with the appointment of your son, Daniel. He makes us proud every day. To the 343 brothers that were lost on this day, the 159 brothers that have passed in the post 9/11 years because of the illnesses that they attributed to this site, to the hundreds of firemen that are battling illnesses, you must all know, you and your families, that you were in the thoughts and prayers of every member of this great department known as the FDNY.
And for my father, Mark Caleo, my uncle, Stephen Caleo, and my uncle, Thomas Pedicini, I stand here as a reminder to the other families of 9/11 and to the world that no matter how dark moments in life can get, that there is light ahead if you just choose hope. Thank you.
Some of the voices today at Ground Zero reading the names of those who perished on September 11th, 2001. Meanwhile, Donald Trump ratcheted up the temperature at the 16th anniversary remembrance ceremony at the Pentagon Memorial today against enemies of the United States, failing to mention that 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers were Saudis from the country where Trump wants to sell arms. And Trump, who has been divisive in his speech speaking about the United States, says our values will endure. One wonders, though, whose values he's speaking about. Here's Trump earlier today at the Pentagon.
America does not bend. We do not waver. And we will never, ever yield. So here at this memorial, with hearts both sad and determined, we honor every hero who keeps us safe and free. And we pledge to work together, to fight together, and to overcome together every enemy an obstacle that's ever in our path. Our values will endure. Our people will thrive. Our nation will prevail, and the memory of our loved ones will never, ever die. Thank you. May God bless you. May God forever bless the great United States of America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Donald Trump this afternoon at the Pentagon September 11th Memorial. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. Turning now to Irma, nearly 7.2 million homes and businesses are without power in multiple states. This as Hurricane Irma, which is now a tropical storm, moves through the southeast. The vast majority without power are in Florida. State emergency management officials say the storm cut power to more than 6.5 million account holders across the state as of this afternoon. Georgia reported more than 570,000 homes and businesses without electricity and 80,000 in South Carolina. The National Hurricane Center says there's a danger of life-threatening storm surge flooding along portions of the coast of Florida, where a storm surge warning remains in place. Irma continues to produce very heavy rain and inland flooding across much of the northern peninsula and eastern panhandle of Florida and southern Georgia, which is quickly spreading to the rest of the southeast United States. Elsewhere, Caribbean officials struggled today to get aid to islands devastated by Hurricane Irma, and they tried to take stock of the damage caused by the Category 5 storm. At least 34 people were reported to have been killed in the region, including 10 in Cuba, whose northern coast was raked by the storm. Cuban state media said most of those who died were in Havana, where seawater surged deep into residential neighborhoods. More than 1 million were evacuated from flood-prone areas. To the east in the Leeward Islands, known as the playground for the rich and famous, governments came under criticism for failing to respond quickly to the hurricane, which flattened many towns and turned lush green hills to a brown stubble. Residents reported food, water, and medicine shortages, as well as looting. Reuters reports that British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson defended his government's response to what he called an unprecedented catastrophe and promised to increase funding for the relief effort. Britain sent a Navy ship and almost 500 troops to the British Virgin Islands and Caicos Islands that were pummeled by the hurricane. The U.S. government said it was sending a flight today to evacuate its citizens from St. Martin, one of the hardest hit islands. Evacuees were warned to expect long lines and no running water at the airport. A Royal Caribbean cruise line ship was expected to dock near St. Martin to help in the aftermath, and a boat was bringing a 5-ton crane capable of unloading large shipping containers of aid. A French military ship was scheduled to arrive on Tuesday with materials for temporary housing. About 70% of the beds at the main hospital in the French portion of Saint-Martin were severely damaged, and more than 100 people needing urgent medical care were evacuated. Eight of the territory's 11 pharmacies were destroyed, and Guadeloupe was sending medication. French President Emmanuel Macron was scheduled to arrive in Saint-Martin on Tuesday to bring aid and fend off criticism that he didn't do enough to respond to the storm. Soon after Irma killed 10 people on St. Martin, Category 4 Hurricane Jose threatened the area, halting evacuations for hours before heading out to sea and causing little additional damage. And while Puerto Rico was largely spared the damage of its island neighbors, hundreds of residents still lost their homes, and almost 70% of households have been plunged into darkness. Turning back to Florida, late this afternoon, Florida Governor Rick Scott, standing outside a U.S. Coast Guard airplane after surveying the damage from Hurricane Irma, gave an update. He said the storm surge wasn't as bad as expected.
Thankfully, the threat of tornadoes has diminished. We've received 7 reports of tornadoes, including 2 in Brevard County. The National Weather Service is working to confirm these reports. Given this weather report, if your family and you have evacuated, it's extremely important that you check with local officials before returning home to make sure you can safely do so. Don't go back. Don't think just because this thing packed, you can run home. Our past, you can run home. We've got down power lines all across the state. We've got roads that are impassable still across the state. We've got debris all over the state. Our goal again is don't put any more lives at risk. We already went through this horrendous storm. Don't put your life at risk because of down power lines, debris, impassable roads. Travel with the Coast Guard and Admiral Schultz to survey damage throughout the west coast of Florida and through the Keys. I want to thank the Coast Guard for this opportunity. And here's what we saw. We saw the remnants of the storm surge along the west coast, but we didn't see I didn't see the damage I thought I would see. We clearly saw homes that were messed up. We clearly saw roofs that were off. We clearly saw boats out of the place and things like that. But I thought we would see more damage. There's still flooding. There's still sand on the roads and things like that. But on the west coast, and this is confirmed by the mayors I've spoken to today, it's not as bad as we thought the storm surge would do. Now, when you get to the Keys, we were able to fly into the Naval Air Station in Key West, which, as of just a few hours before we landed, had significant water still on it. But they worked to clear that. We went over all that area. We saw a lot of boats washed ashore. We saw almost every trailer park, they're overturned. I don't think I saw one trailer park that almost everything wasn't overturned. We still saw a lot of flood damage. And from talking to the officials down in the Keys, the water is not working, the sewer is not working, and there's no electricity. So it's very tough. The National Guard, and this is Adjutant General Michael Calhoun, they've already gone all the way down to the Keys, and all the bridges are passable, the roads are passable. However, there's clearly some bridge damage, there's clearly road damage, but you can get down there and traffic. There's not a lot of traffic, which is good. It's moving. My heart goes out to the people in the Keys. I mean, there's devastation. And you know, I just hope everybody, survived. It's horrible what we saw. I know for our entire state, but especially for the Keys, it's going to be a long road. There's a lot of damage. I know everybody wants to get back to normal. I know everyone wants to get started, but again, you got to be patient. You got to get the first responders in the Keys. We got to get the water going again. We got to get electricity going again. We got to get the sewers going again. It's going to take a lot of time. I can tell you, everybody at the local level, the state level, and the federal level, everybody's working hard. Our brave members of local, state, and federal law enforcement, the National Guard, military members have been working around the clock to save people alive. We've got rescue teams with all sorts of equipment trying to make sure we don't have any we don't lose anybody. If anybody's in harm's way, you can call your local law enforcement. You can call the state emergency hotline, which is 800-342-3775. Somebody will show up. We're working with FEMA. I can tell you the White House has been outstanding. I talked to President Trump three times yesterday. I talked to Administrator Brock Long with FEMA already today. I talked to him multiple times yesterday. I can tell you, I've talked to so many cabinet members. I talked to Vice President Pence yesterday. The White House and everybody at the federal level is showing up, and they are going to, my belief is they're going to show up and they're going to do everything they can. And I'll talk about a little bit the missions, the resources they're providing. DOT is working hard to clear the roads and inspect the bridges all across the state. We need DOT to inspect the bridges before people go back. These barrier islands and places like that. It's a top priority. It was a top priority after Matthew.
Florida Governor Rick Scott late this afternoon on the situation in Florida. He said 65% are without power, and he's working to get it back and to get fuel into the state, and is advising people in Florida not to get on the road, not to be on the move. In Mexico, 96 are now counted among the dead after an 8.1 magnitude earthquake shook the provinces of Oaxaca, Chiapas, and Tabasco during the night of September 7th. Meanwhile, aboard the papal plane, Pope Francis sharply criticized climate change doubters, saying history will judge those who fail to take the necessary decisions to curb heat-trapping emissions blamed for the warming of the Earth. Francis was asked about climate change and the spate of hurricanes that have pummeled the U.S., Mexico, and the Caribbean recently as his charter plane left Colombia and flew over some of the devastated areas. In local news, from Buffalo to Long Island, there are some key local primaries to pay attention to on Tuesday. Polls open at 6 a.m. in New York City and Nassau, Suffolk, and Westchester, Rockland, Orange, Putnam, and Erie counties, and at noon everywhere else. Polls close at 9 p.m. statewide. According to the Times Union, here's what to watch for. Big city mayoral races. While eyes in the capital region will be focused on the Democratic Albany mayoral primary, the state's other big cities, all overwhelmingly Democratic like the capital, also have key Democratic primaries for mayor. In New York City, Bill de Blasio faces his first reelection effort. The race was wide open back in 2013 as Mike Bloomberg exited. This time around, the Times Union says this race has been more of a dud. It would have been less of a dud had de Blasio's challengers other than Sal Albanese been allowed to participate in mayoral debates. Other challengers include police reform candidate Bob Ganji, Brooklyn attorney Richard Bashner, and Mike Tolkien, who's trying for millennial voters. The winner's top opponent in the general election will be Assemblymember Nicole Maliotakis, Republican from Staten Island. Bo Dietl, an ex-cop and media personality, is also still in the mix. In other news, 3 years after Eric Garner's death, the CCRB, the Civilian Complaint Review Board, ruled that NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo did use a chokehold to restrict his breathing. This comes as Eric Garner would be celebrating his 47th birthday. In response, Communities United for Police Reform said it shouldn't take the police department over 3 or 5 years in the case of Romarley Graham to hold officers accountable. Pantaleo should have already been held accountable and fired, and numerous other officers involved in killing Eric Garner, Romarley Graham, and other police violence cases must also be held accountable by the de Blasio administration, according to the police reform group. The de Blasio administration, they say, should ensure that the disciplinary trials against Pantaleo and other officers involved move forward swiftly and that the NYPD stops delaying the trials against the officers charged years ago in the killing of Romarley Graham. That would be Sergeant Scott Morris and Officer John McLaughlin. In other news, there's a decision about the panel on New York City statues and monuments. Harry Belafonte and World Trade Center memorial designer Michael Arad will help advise New York City officials on what to do with statues and monuments seen as oppressive. They are among 18 members of a commission on public art, monuments, and markers named by Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio on Friday. The panel's being convened amid protests over Confederate monuments in cities around the country. Some in New York City have called for the removal of the statue of Dr. J. Marion Sims, who operated on enslaved black women without their informed consent. Others say the towering statue of Columbus donated to the city in 1892 should go. The advisory panel will be co-chaired by Ford Foundation President Darren Walker and the city's Commissioner of Cultural Affairs, Tom Finkelpearl. And that's some of the news for Monday, September 11, 2017. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.